Last week we looked at the return of Christ in our study. Our point that the events that we talked about last week was the resurrection. And certainly we talked about the Hadean world last week, the spirit world, where the spirit goes as it awaits the coming of Jesus. When we die this physical death, our spirit goes to the Hadean world and awaits the coming of Jesus Christ. And of course, we recognized last week that it's referred to as Sheol in the Old Testament, referred to as Hades in the New Testament. Luke 16, verses 19 through 31, the rich man and Lazarus, is the very passage that you go to that describes the Hadean world for you in that passage of Scripture. Of course, paradise is one part of it, where Jesus went, and the thief on the cross that believed that Jesus was the Christ went to paradise, and Jesus was only there 3 days before he rose from the grave. And of course, the great gulf is fixed between and the part called Tartarus, as we find Jude talks about the angels that sinned went there as well as Peter. So therefore there are those who are in Tartarus as well as a rich man who was suffering. So those were just certain points that we looked at in preparation for the resurrection day. We're looking at the return of Christ part 2 this morning, and we're going to take a look at the events of Christ's return, the judgment scene. And so I would encourage you, first of all, to note what Jesus had to say to the apostles in John chapter 14 in verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We recognized last week, and we recognize even today, in our lesson today, that there are two appointments that we have to keep. And the Hebrew writer speaks of those two appointments. He says that it is appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. So it's appointed that we will do this. Everybody upon the face of the earth will either die or leave the physical body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the body is changed. And everybody upon the face of the earth will stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Everybody will face the judgment scene. So I start off in our lesson this morning by going to Matthew chapter 25. And in Matthew chapter 25, I would like to consider three verses. Verse 31 beginning. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. So an important point that Jesus is bringing out here is indeed that everyone will face that judgment scene. There will be no one who escapes the judgment scene. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 17 and in verse 30, we find that Paul says, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, as Luke records it rather, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. So important point that the writer is bringing out in this passage of Scripture. In Romans chapter 2 in verses 5 and 6, Paul says, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. And as we turn our Bibles over to Revelation chapter 20 and verses 11 beginning, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the book. Important point that is being brought out in this passage of Scripture. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. So we're really focused on this judgment scene. This judgment scene that each and every one of us will have to face. Personal accounting of our words and the deeds. I think it's something a lot of people don't think about when they go out and they rattle at the mouth and say things they ought not say. They don't think about Matthew 12 and verse 36 where Jesus says, I say to you that for every idle word men speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Wow. Every idle word. Paul, in his second letter that he writes to the brethren at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. No one will escape the judgment seat. Not a single soul. There'll be no place to hide. Everyone will have to face that scene. Upon the basis of God's word, we will be judged. As John writes, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Wow, what an important point that Christ is making in this passage of Scripture. That every single word that we read about in the Scriptures, everything that we read on how we are supposed to be, on how we are supposed to act, on the things that we're supposed to toss away, and the things that we're supposed to add to, we'll be judged by all of that. Oh. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, for those who are sinners, it won't be a great day. It won't be an exciting day for them. It'll be a sad day. But here's the reason why. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Wow. Well, you know, we all can recognize or at least adhere to what the writer here is saying. The labor pains that comes upon a pregnant woman. I've experienced that. I know what happens. I'm the one that gets all excited. She's the one that says, hey, we're okay, we're okay. We get to the hospital and she delivers her first child pretty quickly. And they didn't tell me she delivered. And so when the doctor comes and says, it's finished. So I go up the room and I go talk to her and she says, it's all over with. I said, that's okay, we can have another, that's okay. I'm thinking the baby's died. You know, I'm not on the same page at all. Yeah, those labor pains come up on a pregnant woman so fast. And they never know when they're going to come. Now, listen to what the writer's saying. The second coming is going to be just like that. It's going to be just like it. So we have to be ready. We have to be prepared. There are so many passages of Scripture to consider. Go back to Matthew chapter 24, or 25 rather, and look there at verse 41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and not minister unto you? Then he will answer them, saying, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. So do not do what they should have done is one of the dangers. One of the dangers to be assured of that we will pay the price for if we don't do what we are supposed to do. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verses 8 and 9, Paul writes, In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to stop there just for a moment, because I want you really to focus on this passage of Scripture. When you think about those who do not know God, who's going to be held accountable for not telling them about Jesus Christ? Wow, that's something to think about, isn't it? Who's going to be held accountable? They don't know God. Why don't they know God? Well, we think about passages of Scripture like, and the psalmist says, and some of the others have said, you can go out there, you can look up in the sky, you see the stars in the heaven, you see the sun, you know there's a God. But it's more than recognizing there is a God. It's understanding there is a God who has commandments that we have to keep. And those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now look what happens. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Everybody has that opportunity. Everybody has the opportunity to know God. Everybody has the opportunity to obey the gospel. So it's so important that we understand that those are the ones who will be punished with everlasting destruction and did what ought not to be done. As we turn back to Romans, where we were at just a moment ago, there in chapter 2, Romans chapter 2, in verses 8 and 9 in this part. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also to the Greek. Look at what the point the writer is making here about those who are not living in accordance with the will of God. I encourage you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 as well. And I encourage you to take a look at what the writer has to say in this particular passage of Scripture, beginning here in verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the Scriptures teach. That's the event that's going to take place when Christ comes. Not just the resurrection, the judgment scene. To face the judgment scene, to have to give account for the things that you have or have not done. But for those who have chosen to follow God, for those who have chosen to be obedient to the Son, who have chosen to do the will, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. In chapter 25 of Matthew, where we were at just a moment ago, the king will say on those on his right hand when he separates the goats from the sheep, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And then we have to live by faith. I go back to Romans chapter 2, but I want to look at verses 6 and 7 at this point of our study. And notice what the writer has to say here. "Who will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality." Yes, it is an absolute great day for those who choose to follow God. This judgment scene is not a terrible day. It is a great day for all of those who have chosen to follow Jesus Christ. Oh, my friends, it would be nice if everyone would choose to follow Christ. As a matter of fact, the Father has been allowing us the time and the opportunity to be obedient to His will. Now, Peter brings that point out. The reason why He hasn't destroyed the world yet is because His wish is that everyone would be saved. That is God's desire. So much God's desire that He allowed His only Son to die a very cruel death, to shed that blood so that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we could rise up and be with the Father forever and have the forgiveness of sins because we were obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Father. What a wonderful Father that He was willing to do that. The sentence will be carried out. When you look at verse 46 here in Matthew chapter 25, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous to life eternal." They will be rewarded. What a beautiful day it will be. So during the resurrection, we go through the judgment scene after we've risen from the dead, when our bodies have been changed. We go through this judgment scene, and then after this judgment scene, no longer is there any need for this world. We don't need it anymore, because Christ will have overcome death, giving Satan a crushing blow to the head. Oh, it will be a wonderful day for all of those who choose to be obedient. But the problem with so many doctrines, there are those doctrines that might teach that hell is just a temporary place, that you go to hell and you serve out your sentence like a person does when he commits a crime, and once you serve out your sentence, you come up from there. No. It's eternal. It never ceases to be. Heaven is everlasting. Hell is everlasting. It's not a temporary dwelling place. But for those who choose to follow Christ, I would like for you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. As we bring our lesson to a close, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I would like to consider, first of all, verses 13 through verse 15. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. We brought this point out last week in our Bible lesson and our study here of the first part, and certainly what a wonderful thought. The brethren at Thessalonica were very concerned about their brethren that had passed away, that they were going to miss out on the resurrection. And, of course, Paul encouraged them by telling them, no, that's not so. They will take part in it just as much as you will take part in it. So they will be first to rise from the dead. I want to go to Hebrews. Hold your place here because we're coming back to 1 Thessalonians in just a moment. But I'd like to go to Hebrews for a moment. Hebrews chapter 6. I said last week that there's just so many passages and so many passages that I would like to consider. And there's no way the time permits for us to consider all of them. But I wanted enough of them in there to prove my point, the important point, that is, that it will be a wonderful day, a great day for those who love the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 6, beginning here in verse 17. Thus God determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner, talking about Jesus Christ, has entered for us, even Jesus having become the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So we have this wonderful hope. This hope is secure. It is steadfast that we will have eternal life when this life here is over, if only we would be faithful all the way to the end. That's what's required of us. As we move on back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 there, and I want to go back here and bring out verses 16 through verse 18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And I said last week, and I say it again, no one will not know what's going on. Whether you're a sinner, whether you're a Christian, you'll know what's going on. And in verse 17 he said, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. You know, it's a difficult lesson to teach about the judgment, because people always want to hear the good side and they don't want to hear the bad side. But God is giving us this information for a reason. He's giving us the good side and the bad side. He's allowing us to make the choice. He's allowing us to decide as to whether we want to spend eternity with him or whether we do not want to spend eternity with him. And all he's asking from us is to hear his son and be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ and live faithfully to the end. That's what he wants from us. It's definitely personal, visible. When this return takes place, it is audible. When the angels shout, what an important point, when the command of death to release the captivities, as John chapter 5, 28 and 29, we looked at last week, the voice of the archangel who cries the victory, as we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 there in verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. It will be well known what is going on. Oh, what an important point that he brings out about the order of the saints and that participation of the resurrection day. The dead in Christ will rise first. The living Christians will be caught up. Christians will be changed, as we saw last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and verse 52. This is the manner we will all forever be with the Lord. Comfort one another, he says, with these words. So important. I encourage you to go back at the close here as we look at chapter 5 and verses 10 and 11 of 1 Thessalonians and notice what he says. Who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you are doing. What a great day it will be. We sing that hymn oftentimes, and it certainly is a great day. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Romans 2:7. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Revelation 2, verse 10. Are you prepared? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready for the day of resurrection? Are you prepared to spend eternity with Christ? If we can help aid you in your obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we truly encourage you to come as together we stand and sing the song of invitation.
I have decided to follow Jesus.